You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hi, as Scott said, this is On My Nightstand, and I am Laura Cathcart Robbins. Welcome to the first On My Nightstand of 2022. We've missed you guys. Really glad to be back reading stories to you. And today I'm reading an essay from one of my friends and mentors, gosh, really the mentor, Emily McCombs from the Huffington Post, and I'll read to you a little bit about Emily. Emily McCombs is deputy editor for HuffPo Personal, HuffPo's personal essay section, where she helps people tell their stories and writes about topics like sex, love, mental health, body image, addiction, gender issues, and sexual assault. She was previously the executive editor for XOJane.com. We interviewed Emily in 2021. She's the only one who relapsed and came back. And prior to that interview, she was my first publisher. She published the Brave Magic piece that started this podcast. So we owe her a great debt of gratitude, and I was excited to be able to read something of hers. This was also inspired a little by Sophia Rose, who was also a season 2021 guest. She was the only fat, over 40 Latina porn star. And just her talk about big-bodied women made me reflect back to this piece, which I had read in August, which is when it was published. It's called A Eulogy for the Swimsuit Dress, A Plus-Size Rite of Passage by Emily McCombs. I grew up in the 90s when body positivity hadn't been invented yet. Brands didn't have plus-size lines. Fat adolescents like me could only yearn for the baby doll tees featured in the pages of the Delia's catalog. And there was still a mall store called 579 because those were the only sizes they carried. If you were larger than that, you left the mall with your mom crying at least once every school year. No, there was likely one store in the whole shopping center where you could buy plus sizes that were guaranteed to make you look like a junior businesswoman or cover you in dancing hippos or elephants like you wanted to be the butt of a classmate's joke. This is the one reason I refuse to participate in the cow print trend now. Although it's very cute on the cute girls of Instagram, I'm not falling for it, cow print. Honestly, you didn't even have to be that fat to be too big for the junior sizes of the day, cut as they were for the presumably uniformly boyish bodies of teen girls. Should you be instead made up of, I don't know, a curve or more problematically, boobs, everything was doomed to fit like one of those dresses might actually be a shirt, but you're not totally sure. It didn't help that the low-rise jeans and midriff-bearing tees that were in fashion were designed to feature washboard abs, because again, body positivity had not yet been invented. I didn't see my first fat girl in a crop top until at least 2011. But among the house of horrors that was plus-size fashion at this time, one trend stands out in my memory as particularly atrocious. It was the plus-size swim dress. And if you were a fat girl in the 90s, you probably wore one. Shopping for swimwear as a fat teen was not that great in the first place, as you can imagine. I was also raised evangelical Southern Baptist, so alongside being fat, I had to reckon with the sin of having an incredible set of tatas that might tempt the boys during our separate swim times at the Christian summer camp. I wore my first bikini at age 28 for an article. I don't even remember having a tasteful one-piece or a tankini as an adolescent. Instead, it was always the swim dress. Maybe there's nothing inherently offensive about the swimsuit with the skirt itself, although I'd argue it wasn't the most effective design, given its intended function. The offensive part was that the swimsuit skirt, which covered one's thighs and rear end and distracted from the stomach, was the default plus-size option for young girls. There's definitely a reason why that style of suit is marketed toward plus-size women and girls, says Amanda Richards, host and creator of Big Calf, a podcast that tells stories about kids growing up fat. I think part of it is about concealing the type of midsection that's considered unsavory or unworthy of being seen. But I also think it's about the fact that fat women and girls are so often encouraged to perform femininity as a way of making fatness acceptable, like sending the message that it's okay to have curves as long as you're being super girly about it. I wore a skirted swimsuit for the first time I was coming of puberty age and old enough to realize I was fatter than the other girls, and the appropriate thing to do was to hide my disgusting body so that other people wouldn't make fun of me at the beach. Or so I thought it would act like a shield from knowing what my body truly looked like, says Alex Crass, owner of Plus Brooklyn, a New York boutique selling secondhand and vintage plus-size clothing. I did hate the style, though, and though I felt shielded, I also felt super unhip and granny at the beach. I don't think I ever saw a thin teenager wearing a swim dress, any more than I saw a thin teenager in one of my Dillard's mini pantsuits. I'm willing to venture they didn't even make them in straight sizes back then, or at least didn't stock them extensively in that section. But the plus-size section was lousy with them, because the assumption was that we bigger girls must want to cover up. And honestly, many of us probably did. We were a long way from Ashley Graham and Gabby Fresh having flesh-bearing swimsuit lines and the coining of the term fatkini. Magazine covers were still talking about how to get your best beach body instead of the now common mantra that everybody is a beach body. We were taught to cover up in the never-ending pursuit of flattering, which every fat girl knows means thinner. I had 57 black cardigans and no horizontal stripes. The first time I put on a size 14 bikini, I felt cripplingly self-conscious. But I also felt something else, sun, and the summer breeze on my bare skin, skin I'd never bared before. And it felt great because being as close to clothes-free as possible on a hot day just feels good. And look, the skirted swimsuit hasn't gone extinct completely. They still sell the things. I just searched swim dress on Target and found several options, including one for quote-unquote slimming control, boasting ruching, which a lot of retailers throw into plus-size clothing to hide lumps and bumps. And if you are still wearing one because you like it or feel comfortable in it, I think that's great. But the skirted swimsuit is no longer the dominant plus-size swimsuit paradigm, and today we have the choice to flaunt our assets at the level we feel most comfortable. It's no longer assumed that women bigger than a size 12 must want to cover up our lower halves. Today, there are a multitude of options for plus-size women, though size runs are still limited and niche to find, just like the growing plus-size clothing market in general, Crass says. But at least styles are more modern and accessible. And if you want to find something skimpy for a small and medium fat woman, you likely can. She added, in any case, today I still rock a suit with my belly out. What a change. And that is truly all plus-size women are asking for, options. the same option that straight-sized women have, to cover up or bear our bodies however we feel most comfortable. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.